But welcome to this morning's call. We tried a new experiment with encouraging people to meditate a little bit before. Let's see if we can get the circle to actually start. Looks like it. Yay. So maybe it looks like a successful experiment. Thank you all for joining us. We ordinarily would take a moment of silence to ground ourselves. Why don't we just do that since we're just coming back into the room? Let's take a quick moment and then we'll get started. Thank you again. So it's great to have so many of our esteemed space holders from around the globe all together to share best practices and share what's coming up for us as we shift to, in some ways, a different type of holding space and in some ways not. It's funny because I think of like Nipun talking for and others in the service-based ecosystem for talking for decades about this vision of melding low-level technology, the kind of intermediate technology that Schumacher talked about in Small is Beautiful, with the deeper work of cultivation, in the language of some, internet meets internet, or kind of the deeper connections across the globe at both the level of branch tops and roots. And we're in a world now where so many, where people are isolated physically, and seeking that kind of connectedness across geographic space. And so many communities that we're all a part of, workplaces, schools, other communities, are finding the values and uses of technology to connect and create social bonds. And yet I can't help but feel that, while the branch tops are connecting, how effectively in multiple communities, are we connecting at the roots and using the technology both to expand our geographic scope from the outside, but also deepen in our connections from the inside? And I think this community has been doing that for decades. And I feel like, we've been slowly and continuing to build the capacity within ourselves and in our communities to bridge that kind of deeper connection as well. So I feel like we're called upon to really think about how do we both within as a community, service-based community, how do we deepen the nature of our offering now that we're almost all in virtual space, not just across the globe, but even in our local communities now that our local awakened circles are mostly virtual. So how do we do that as a community? And then more broadly, how do we bring some of those best practices into the other mainstream digital spaces that we find ourselves in now as educators, as employees, as workers, et cetera. So that's kind of the thought of this call to kind of, hear from, to draw up on our collective intelligence. I mean, we have so much collective wisdom assembled here and people that have been doing this for a long time and have been experimenting with different ways of using technology to hold space and just different techniques for holding space, not only digital space, but more broadly. And how do we connect digital space through that deeper ground of interbeing? So the way this call is going to work is that we're going to have, we're going to have an incredible panel initially talk about a little bit about the hows, about how they're adjusting their physical space holding into digital space holding. What's coming up for them? What are some of the best practices in various settings they're finding themselves? Then we'll do some breakouts as a group among that and some popcorn shares. And then we're going to zoom out away from the kind of how of the digital to the what and why. And what's the special challenge of this moment? I feel, where there's cracks in our systems appearing and more people are willing to enter that so-called space of unknowing and also the space of being. What are we sensing and how can we encourage people to more deeply stay in that space of not knowing and be willing to explore, new realities, new emergences on the other side. And so we have a very special guest. I'm going to break the surprise, Terry Patton, who is a remarkable author, a philosopher, a speaker, a thinker, a social activist, who's written a beautiful, remarkable book called A New Republic of the Heart, who's going to talk a little bit about how do we encourage people to step in to those cracks that are created in our systems, and how do we begin to widen those cracks skillfully. So that's going to be the second part. But with that, I'm going to turn this over to my esteemed co-anchor, Ari Nessel, to set the stage for what's coming up for him in the first part of this. Thanks, Ari.
Brina. So grateful to be on the call with each of you. Oh, gosh, it's we can't give each other physical hugs, but I'm sending you each a virtual hug, no doubt about it. So here's there it is. I just think people make faces, and like, it's just the nuance of what we have to bring to like the virtual relationship is different. Expressiveness. When I started hosting weekly Awakened Circles a few years ago, it was like, I love this community of service space so much, but like I spent so much of my life online. It was actually looking for the in-person, the physical experience that was more nurturing for me. So hosting that and working, being a volunteer at Banyan Grove, it was all about the physical relationship, and breaking bread with people was so nurturing for me. And in many ways, that was like sort of the way what I wanted to pull from service space. And here I am now, trying to figure out how to go back into this virtual world and still build the relationships and feel the intimacy that I was longing for so long, and that was really being met by these circles. And I've one of the motivations for starting to host my circle was I had all these great friends in the community. They weren't local to me. I was driving, an hour away to see my friends, and I wanted people close to me. And here I am now, it's beautiful to have my friendships all around the world, but also really wanted to like build a local geographic community. And also like there's a different kind of positive peer pressure I've always felt in hosting, the circles. Like, not like sitting still for an hour. It's a different experience to do that on your own versus having people around who you don't want to disturb, right? Just the way I show up if I'm on a phone call for work or a Zoom call for work, like I don't hold myself to the same standard. And I don't think most people don't as well. my tendency is to multitask. It's to be looking around at other things. The captivation of my attention just isn't as focused virtually. So it's demanding. So there's questions I'm holding, and that, Meghna and Marius and I will be discussing in a moment, is how do we sort of both like bring some of those qualities we've been seeking and we've been gaining from our physical circles and bring them to the virtual world? And then, which of those do we need to just let go of and sort of and say that the ceiling will be different in this milieu? And then what is possible that was never possible before? Because we have access to this, to removal of barriers that of distance, for example. So these are questions and themes that I would like to get into. I'm just, I was just looking at the feed and some of the questions that people are holding. I just want to share. One of them was Marius, who was speaking. He talked about what are the new agreements that we want to have in these places, in virtual circles. Like, I think for me, there are understood agreements you have when you're sitting in a circle. It's a little different in the virtual world, right? And is it really even a circle? I'm like, this is a grid, right? We need new terminology even. Is there a process for integrating people? The technical becomes really quite, really important in a way that I have to be more thoughtful. That I is my Wi-Fi working really well where I'm at in the house? How's my audio? Terry has this earpiece that's really, really wise to have. is my computer charged enough, and am I near a battery? Just very functional, practical things. Jane was mentioning about how the lack of physical space and presence, because we don't have that, we become more distracted, as I mentioned, and we're missing nonverbal information. Vishesh said the same, something very similar. You know, so much of what we communicate is a physicality, and it's more just not a physicality. It's a shared energetic field, and it's harder to communicate that energetic field verbally. So those are just parts that questions that I'm holding and I'm trying to live into. And I've started making some. It's an opportunity to be playful and try to mix things up for me around what that may look like, and you know, how do I let go of the rigor of the 1 hour of silence, the 1 hour of sharing in a certain field, and then the 1 hour of dinner, or that however many time dinner takes, and trying to be more playful. And maybe what'll come from this as a collective wisdom, just like the second hour that we have when we sit in Awakens, is a new format that is really, that can be, that that we can pass on, and we can just sort of plug and play in a way that it becomes easy to hold space for, because a really good template's been set for us and it becomes a lot easier. But I think in the meantime, we need to co-create a new format, a new set of expectations, and a new way of being that speaks to this new approach of virtual circles, right? And I don't know what that is yet. And I think we're maybe all looking to learn a little bit more about what is skillful means in this new era we're in. And I have a feeling that what will come from this is not something that's just a temporary experience as this virus passes, but there'll be new learnings and new ways of, you know, new ways that we can share this message of community, of moving from transaction to trust and moving out of isolation. You know, as we've talked about, a lot of us, is not everyone has the benefit of being near a service space, you know, awakened circle, right? They're all over the world, but people are, people have said, I really wish I had a circle near me, you know, and they don't have that. Or if they host it, there's a couple people because they live in a rural area. And now we have access to like meeting those people all around the world. Simultaneously, there is a benefit to having people that you have physical connection with and that you have familiarity with, and having a certain size. So like, how do we separate or hold off the benefits and the costs of having available to everyone versus having available to people who already have familiarity with each other and can start from where they relationships that already existed previously and deepen in those relationships. And then how do we, like this third hour of time, I think it's a lot easier to emulate that first hour, you know, where you're sitting in meditation. It's definitely feasible to emulate the second hour for an awakened circle of where we're reflecting and introducing ourselves. But that third hour of where we break bread together, or we break into small groups and we're connecting and exchanging numbers or building friendships. Is there a new methodology that's appropriate there? I'm just learning about these breakout groups. This was new to me till like a week ago. And maybe Terry or someone else, you know, or Magna or Marius will speak about it. But I'm all really curious about how to do that. And then, you know, there's also just sort of, there's a financial aspect to this as well. Not everyone has really good Wi-Fi, maybe. Not everyone has a great computer. Not everyone can afford to host, you know, Zoom call with, I imagine breakouts maybe is an extra function that costs more. I don't know. How do we, you know, make it accessible to people? How can we support each other, the space holders as well? So those are some of the questions I'm holding. We'll go on to our panel now, which I'm really excited for, with Marius and Meghna, where Meghna has been an active in service space for a decade, is one of like the key holders for the community in India and Ahmedabad more specifically. A true love warrior. When I was just there, I was just like, we had this little circle where people were just going around sharing how Meghna affected their life, you know, and supported their, how they, You know, one person was talking about how Meghna is now is like a not a godmother, but it's like she's like almost like blood. So they became like brother and sister, and even though they weren't, you know, born as genetically brother and sister, and how she takes care of each other's kids, and of course all the way she shows up in service space as an anchor, not only through Awakened Circles but through hosting Head Heart Hands and other events at ESI and around the world. And she's a filmmaker as well. She's a graphic designer. She has a daughter she homeschools. And so many labor of love projects she runs. And then Marius, he's also an educator, more broadly through a community where he teaches kindness in an international school in Romania. And in that school with him and his colleagues, he's created a hub of generosity-driven experiments in the education arena, where they've recently put on a Cultivating Compassion in Education symposium. So with that, I would like to invite Meghna and Marius to turn off, or oh, not turn off, to unmute their mics. You guys on now?
Yes, hello everyone.
Hello. Hi.
Great. Well, thank you both so much for joining us virtually around the world here. I guess I'd just like to start off with, how has it changed for your capacity to host, you know, to host circles now that they've gone, at least the physical ones that have gone to virtual? And what are some of the, you know, the big insights you've had around how to show up? How do you change the way you show up in any way? And maybe we'll start with Meghna.
Wow, these are heavy questions, and definitely I'm sitting in front of the grid who holds the space across the world. And thank you for this beautiful introduction, Preeta and Ari, for just bringing us all together in such amazing ways. I didn't know there were so many Awakened hosts. To see a face to the names is wonderful. Look forward to learn from you as well. It's just for us in Ahmedabad, it's just been 2 weeks of virtual Awakened Circles. And, you know, when you were sharing, Ari, about your experience as your Awakened Circles, I remember my first Awakened Circle was about 18 years ago. And so that is so deeply ingrained in my DNA that to have a virtual Awaken just 2 weeks into it, and 18 years of, you know, physical Awakened Circle experiences, and of course 12 years of being a part of the anchoring space in Ahmedabad, it's very unreal. I was just reading this little para by Shinryu Suzuki, and he's written this book on Buddhism. And so this one person asks him, you know, it's just too much to read through the book. Can you just explain the gist of what Buddhism is in one sentence? And Suzuki says, everything changes. And I think this is such a stark reality check of everything changes. I never imagined Awakened to be like this, because for me, my Awakened special moment was, you know, the third hour, stepping into Harshita Aunty's kitchen and eating the delicious food. Me through the Awakened Circles and the listening circles, and that made me stay through. And it's beautiful to see how, especially in Ahmedabad, every hour is special for someone else. For someone, the silence is really important. For someone, the sharing is really a value. For someone, the dinner is what really pulls them. They still sit through the three hours of collective experiences. And to not have that physical touch point has been quite a journey for many. And in 2 weeks itself, people have been like, oh, I miss sitting in circle with everyone. Oh, I miss, you know, eating the food. Oh, I miss the chit-chat at the end of the circles. So for sure, everything has been changing, and we're still exploring what's going on. But some of the things that stood out to me in the 2 weeks, and I'm hoping that I'll also get some more clarity. There's edges, there's questions that I'm exploring. There are opportunities. For example, the first week when we did our Awakened circle, virtual circle 2 weeks ago, we had 6 people. While we had 20 RSVPs, people thought it was a physical circle. And then when they were emailed that, oh, it's just virtual, we had only 6 show-ups. And then last week, we had about 18 to 20 folks show up. Pretty much all of them RSVP'd. And it wasn't just Ahmedabad. There were people from Baroda. There were people from, Ashima joined from Udaipur. There was a friend who joined from New York. So suddenly the canvas was so much more bigger. There are people who on and off send us reflections on the passages from Canada and from different parts of the world. And now they're able to log in into the same living room or the grid room, as we may say, for Awakened Circles. And I think that potential that just came up, the constraint that just came up, was really beautiful. Some of the edges that I was wondering, for us, and it's just new, and I'd look forward to listening to what others have been, how others have been experimenting a silent hour. We generally, silent hour is something that we sit without the computer screen on. And then we log in at 8:01 p.m. to share in the circle. And I was wondering, you know, I genuinely sit for the hour. I'm like, I wonder how many people sit for the hour, because even when it's an offline circle, there are people who are still coming at 7:15, 7:30. And literally like 2 months into the offline circles, inspired by the Baroda team, we had put in a beautiful creative constraint where everybody was in the room before 7:30. And so suddenly people were just getting into the hang of at least sitting 30 minutes and not showing up like 5 minutes before the circle ends. So I was wondering what do we do to, should we even be controlling that? Because Awaken is about the silent hour as well, or primarily for me. So that is one of the questions that I was holding. India being RSVP culturally not big thing. So we've, over years, we've gotten where people start to RSVP, because of course there's dinner preparations as well that need to happen. But now with no dinner, literally 1-2 weeks ago, this person was like, I didn't RSVP on this circle because I was not going to have dinner. There was no dinner. But then, you know, how do you want, you know, make sure that the RSVP still continues to happen, because it's being sacred to the space. You want to show up. For me, in the 12 years of being a part of Awakened Circus, this was my first RSVP, because I opened the door in my own house. I've never RSVP'd. But suddenly when I came onto the virtual call, it wasn't my Awakened Circle anymore. It was everyone's Awakened Circle. And it was so amazing for me to even just go on the website and RSVP for myself, saying I'm going to show up for this circle. So that was a big shift as well. And it's very big from the way I, from the door that I see in. So that came up. And there are many opportunities, as I said, you know, last week, a bunch of the Baroda Awakened Circles joined Shyamji's Delhi Awakened Virtual Circle, and some of them came to Ahmedabad Virtual Circle, and there was the Surat Virtual Circle, and now there's a whole list of all other virtual circles that have come up, and people are emailing from different parts of literally the country saying, I'm in Chennai, I'd like to join your circle. Is it possible? Can I join in? So it's really nice to see that people who've never been a part of Service Space, or heard of Service Space, or heard of Awakened Circles, and they're really, you know, connecting further and saying, we'd like to join your circle. Just yesterday, I think somebody suggested in our India group that maybe we can have one Awakened Circle every day, one day in Ahmedabad, one day in Baroda, one day in Delhi. I'm like, that's just too many Awakened Circles. What if I don't be able to make it to all of them? That's a little overwhelming, you know? So while there are edges and there are questions and there's still, we are trying to figure out what is the best way to hold this space. Of course, I've been on many calls online, so I'm starting to understand holding space virtually as well, but not everybody is sound. So how do we facilitate other anchors and volunteers also who are strong anchors offline? How do we support them to also hold space online is a question that I'm holding. How can that, that's not something that can be taught. It's just, I think we share and then we learn. And then of course, over time, we build that skillfulness, as you also reminded. These are just some of the things that have come up, and I'm sure there are plenty, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more in the times to come, because it's a whole different ballgame. And nonetheless, I am looking forward to a time when the circles will be offline again. So thank you for listening, and thank you for holding space everywhere.
You, Meghna. And Marius now comes from a different perspective, where people are really used to the physicality as well as teaching, education field. And it seems like that's a whole different level of complexity. You know, acts of kindness, I think, as something that's usually a very physical thing, also very, very relational. And so, Elias, if you can maybe share a little bit about how this idea of moving from a physical to a physical affects your ability to share the values of service.
One of my students said it best last week when we did the kindness practice. We do the kindness practice and all the lessons on Google Hangouts. So after 2 minutes of kindness practice, just wishing other people to be well and to be healthy, I asked them to share, how did it feel for you to just send kind thoughts like you just did? And one of the students nailed it. It had the same feeling I had, you know. Yeah, it was good, but you know what? Something is not right. So he felt that, okay, it's nice, we're doing this, but something is not right. So this was the feeling I started with two weeks ago, that something is not right, because maybe the quality of connection decrease a little bit. But on the other hand, I'm where Rachel Naomi Remen just suggested in last week's, this week's text, we are facing a koan, okay? And a koan invites the students, invites everyone to think of everything in a different way, because the answers we are used to do not work anymore, or not all of them. So, That hit home for me, the text just recently. I'm facing a koan. How do I do this? And although I don't have a clear answer, things started emerging. For example, I'm doing little acts of kindness with my students at home. For example, I challenge them to, you know what, write a thank you note and hide it somewhere in the house, okay? Write it for someone in the house and let's do this in the next 10 minutes, okay? How did it work? I never thought about doing this in the class because, well, we were all there together. We had a lesson to go through. But now, all of a sudden, we have time and we have opportunities. Okay, so I invited the students to do this act of kindness. And one of the students actually shared, wow, I never thought about doing this. I never thought about thanking my brother for actually replacing the toilet paper in the bathroom. He never used to do this, and all of a sudden I saw him doing it, and I said, oh, this is a moment I need to thank him, you know? So on the one hand, maybe as a class, we are not having the same feeling any longer, but this put me in a position to deepen the tithe individually. So I'm trying to check in with everyone to make sure that they're not falling behind or falling through the cracks. Okay, because when I'm in class, okay, everybody, I can see everybody, I can see that they're engaged in some way or another, but on the online, I don't know how they are. I don't know how they're doing. So every now and then I feel the need to, hey, I didn't hear you today. Are you okay? How are you doing? And they start opening up. Oh, I'm not having such a good day. So I have the opportunity to, you know, to go through the back channel and connect deeper with each and everybody. If the Awakening Circle 2 weeks ago had only one guest, now this week we had seven. And I've started inviting people I never thought about inviting. Usually the Awakening Circles just are an event on Service Space and whoever is interested in coming is coming. But now what I'm doing is I'm advertising, you know, hey, there's this event, there's this thing going on in Bucharest. We are holding space. How would you like to participate? Check this out. Come if you want. So guess what? People from, just like Magna said, people from Austria came, a friend of ours, and more people from Bucharest who normally wouldn't have come otherwise. Okay. And I started thinking about maybe 1 hour is too much for some people. I'm also thinking about telling them, hey, if this 1 hour, because many people are not used to meditation or just sitting in silence for 1 hour, it might be creepy. It might be overwhelming for them. And I'm going to have a short message there in the awakening message. I'm going to tell them, hey, only for 10 minutes. If 10 minutes will do for you, come. You're welcome. This is a space for everybody. Okay. And Preeta just gave me the idea to have the on the Zoom this a message whenever someone comes in to have this message on. So all these little ideas start popping in my head. So all of a sudden, this koan presents itself as an opportunity. Now I'm willing to engage the participants even more. I would like to offer them the 21 days of challenge. Let's do this together. Let's form a group and let's go through this together. And every now and then, let's just meet and just share about this. So there's this aspect as well. There's also, you know, many people started reaching out. They normally wouldn't have. They are asking me how they can contribute, how they can create their own space, how they can hold space for other people. So all of a sudden, there's a huge wealth of opportunities for people to hold space in their own fields, in technology, in business, in psychology. And there's a lot of movement going on in this circle. So I feel that for me, this reaching out is also an opportunity to reach in because I can only contribute to the level of my own practice. So I've started deepening on an individual level. I started looking into myself. What are my intentions during these times? What, how do I want to serve? And I can only serve if this mind and body are working properly on a physical level, but also on a mental level. So I've started using more time for myself and I've started extending my own practice because this is how I can best serve. So I would like to go in front of other people and tell them, hey, we have this collective space, let's use it, but only if I feel up to it. And for me, feeling up to it means a lot of personal work. So I don't know if, I hope this helps. If they will, I'm very curious to hear other people because I see so many people I know and I'd love to get into more discussions. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Maurice. And that's just what we're gonna do. We have an opportunity now to go into some breakout groups. And, you know, through the magic of Zoom and of Preeta, we will automatically be put into those groups.
Okay, give me one second.
So while she does that, we're going to be there for a little less than like 15 minutes, around 13 minutes. And the invitation is maybe each person in the group, it'll be 4 to 5 people will share for a couple of minutes with each other. And then when you're done sharing individually, maybe you'll come back to and share it more collectively. And magically a beep will, or a message will come out about when we're halfway through. And again, with 60 seconds left. And you can talk about the different, you know, opportunities or the edges and questions and experiments you're holding, ways you can be playful with Zoom, all these different things you can do to think about how to re-engage with this new world we're living in.
Awesome. So you're gonna be assigned to a room very shortly. You'll get a message at the halfway mark and then return to the room. And the question really is, what edges are you feeling as you hold space virtually? What opportunities are you leaning into and what are some of the best practices you're finding as to how to not only, you know, to do this skillfully? And as some of our panelists shared, there's a bunch of edges, you know, around how do you create that deeper experience. There's some opportunities, which is the broadening of the circle in some ways. More people are attracted, more people are drawn in. But how do we provide, you know, but not everyone sits in silence for an hour. So how do we begin to provide that deeper work and start both creating that crack in mainstream environments that maybe aren't used to sitting in silence, like by inviting them in and broadening the circle, but also kind of inviting them to go deeper and deeper. So bringing our values more and more to it. So those are some of the questions. And we will go into breakouts right now. Let's see. think we're all here. Awesome. So I'd love to just invite some popcorn reflections on if anyone wants to share their anything that came up for them about edges, opportunities, best practices around holding digital space. If you could just, a couple ways you could do that. You can just raise your hand on Zoom. I don't think anyone's on the phone, but if you're on the phone, you hit *9. You can also just hit the participant panel at the bottom and raise your hand. You can also just go like this and indicate, or you can just unmute yourself and jump in. So I'd love to hear from anyone, like what's coming up for you?
Swara
raised her hand.
Yay, Swara, go for it.
Yeah.
I guess I was just so excited, like a child in who's got like to play around, right? Like Zoom calls for me has never been like a breakout, right? I couldn't get over that. So I was just so happy about that, about the technology that you guys have done, that, you know, we hardly got to the questions, but whatever we shared, I think it was great. So yeah, but I think this is great. Like, you guys are innovating so much, and to make it so much possible, I think it's amazing. I'm just enjoying this call so much. That's what I wanted to share.
I don't think we can take credit for Zoom's design and breakouts, but you know, it's great. Awesome. Anyone else?
Yeah, Nitul here.
Go for it.
Yeah, I just started to say something in my breakout and then I got cut off. So I said, let me complete the conversation here in the open forum. I was just reminded of a quote. I don't know who, I think it's Victor Hugo, who said, there's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. So for me, this virtual thing is something like that. So as an educator, I've been thinking about it. It's like a good idea. I must have virtual sessions and, et cetera, et cetera, but never got around to doing it. And now there's no choice. And it's like that push is, so this becomes a natural habitat. So it's like, I don't even now, I'm thinking that, can I do it and how will it go? It's just a new home. And I'm going to find a way to make the home warm and comfortable for myself and for others. So there's a certain shift in the way of being and just including it. So I just wanted to share that. And I had a coaching call with a client in the morning and I could actually experience that relaxedness on the call instantly.
Awesome. Thank you, Nitul. And I have to confess, as one of the co-hosts on this, I actually, as soon as we went into the breakouts, I felt a little pang of uncertainty. It's like, oh no, I think the breakout groups were too big for the amount of time I allocated. And I was over responding to one call that I was on where I thought the breakouts were too small. And so I realized, oh, we got to find that sweet spot. So anyway, Sujatha, I think you have your hand up. So
I'm doing a lot of online circles, not in the awakening context, but in many different contexts in my work in restorative justice. And one practical tip I would offer is at the beginning of the call to get everyone's name and put them in an order. And so that waiting of who's next and how's it go. So then you really recreate that feeling of circle. And I was saying that there's some people who are in the process of, I have egg on my face right now because a few years ago there was an idea to create an app for Circle. And while that is beneficial in the international context, I really resisted it because I feel like in person is the way we feel people's whole body language, especially in the context of conflict transformation. We want to be fully present to one another. But so the app actually puts the pictures in a circle, which is a little different than Zoom. And if that becomes available, I think it might be something we consider. But definitely putting people in order and even gently reminding people when it gets out of, you know, people forget to say the person's name next and then put it on a post-it note next to the on your screen. So everybody knows who's next and we're all sharing the same order. That's the practical tip. And then I think that Preeta, you and I were having this lovely conversation the other night, and I've been thinking a lot about this idea of, but when we're in times of great crisis, that we have a story that we fall apart. And Rebecca Solnit writes about the idea of that we actually fall together. And so while that makes a lot of sense in the context of other sort of catastrophes she's talked about earthquakes, Katrina flooding. What does it mean to fall together in a time of social distancing? I think has been my edge. Like, how do we fall together when we can't be together? So that's my, those are some of my thoughts.
That's awesome. How do we fall together in a time of social distancing? And I have to say also, there is actually a Circle app. One of my colleagues in my Aspen Fellows group created a Circle app, and they arrange people in circles. There's also moderated readings, things like that, but it's a little expensive. It's not kind of a nonprofit type thing, I think, but it's cool. So Carol has her hand up.
Hi, two things that come to mind. One is, I was saying in the breakout room that my circle that I just started in end of January is that probably is the youngest circle in the whole thing. So I'm like a, you know, newbie learning from all of you. But what's interesting is when I started the circle in end of January in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, people are already having concerns about the coronavirus. So we decided that we are gonna do it virtually online. So for me, when I started, I was forced online since the very beginning. And luckily, I've been working in online, like a remote first companies. So I'm very used to Zoom. I'm very used to using different tools. And so actually I'm very, I'm very optimistic in terms of the intimacy, in terms of the sacredness that we can do virtually. And I think a lot of times our mind is basically a pattern recognition machine. When the pattern breaks down, we feel like the whole world is breaking down, but it's just the patterns we've been, you know, repeating, entrenched in our brain. So to me, it is a opportunity to actually see what is breaking down that might lead to some deeper assumptions I have about what does interaction mean? What does relationship mean? What does, trust mean? Do I have to physically touch somebody to establish trust? I actually very much want to challenge that, you know, I mean, challenge myself because I'm holding those assumptions too. So I'm happy to keep reporting to you know, here if we host another circle again, the things that, you know, I've learned. And the second thing that I would like to share is that is actually three of us from the Santa Clara Awakened Circle, Laura Wells and Pankaj and me, Pankaj Shaw, are thinking of offering and holding kind of a half an hour, we call it collective breather, a kind of a virtual break, offer it to people at work or people, whoever wants to take a break off during their work day. Because once you put things online, you end up having Zoom calls after Zoom calls. That's some of our experience. So we want to hold this half an hour, you know, quick and easy kind of break for everybody who are interested. So, and then we're still, you know, also hopefully even in half an hour, we can help people cultivate some experience that can go both going deeper down and also have this collective kind of a feeling. So thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
And I'm happy to share that that event on in the chat. Whoever is interested, we're thinking of starting this coming Monday. So you're welcome too.
Thank you. Carol, nice to see you. And the guitar is in your background. Very cool. So Parag has been holding such deep space in his community in India for and created such an incredibly vibrant local community. I'm really curious how the virtual space is going for you, Parag, and as someone who's so gifted in holding space in both settings.
So I just want to say, Carol, I'm with you in challenging that assumption that you cannot create intimacy online. I am holding space virtually for last 4 or 5 years, being a volunteer of Leadership Circle, and my most intimate friends are still you know, a case in point, you know, I met Audrey much more on screen than in person. And I know how much I have learned and how much intimately we have grown with each other on screen other than being with in person. And I mean, I can share for so many people. So I deeply believe in, and my experience is that this could be equally intimate. Just that, you know, you have to be out of that relativity, that this is good and this is little less good. If you are out of that, you will create enough intimacy even on screen. So I think there is a great opportunity. I think one big challenge in our local context is that people join on phone, and I think that really dilutes the experience to be on screen and phone. So somewhere I'm trying to draw a line that everybody has a comp at home. Don't be lazy. Just as a sweet constraint that you have to join as far as possible through a comp, a desktop or a laptop. You know, that really makes a huge difference if you join from phone and if you join on comp. And of course, as we all said, you know, broadening, you know, it's beautiful. You know, the moment I came on screen, the first thought crossed my mind is, oh my God, so many people I know, and I wanted to greet everyone. Probably it will take 1.5 hours just to greet everyone and say hello. So that's this is just amazing to be with so many people at the same time. So there is enough opportunity if we really see as the only option and take it as a very sweet constraint to connect online. In India, we are just quickly to share, in India, we are thinking of creating a calendar of different circles because everyone is free at home doing nothing. So from Monday to Friday, maybe 3-4 circles at the same time, and 3-4 people want to do art circle, people want to do circle talks on Gita, and somebody wants to do a circle on catching up and whatnot. So we are planning to create a calendar. If we are able to create, we bombard. Let people join from every other ecosystem and stay connected. Thank you.
Thank you, Parag. Beautiful. And Ashima, I think, had her hand up. So I'd love to hear from Ashima. And then we'll move into the second part.
I just wanted to share something small that I was like, as a host, I'm not in the city where I host. And as a guest, my city doesn't have an awakening because I can't.
Uh-oh.
I think she froze.
Yeah, the challenges of technology.
Yeah, but
Ashima, you froze.
Oh.
Maybe turn your video off and
yes,
that might
yes,
help.
My internet is very sketchy. Yeah, so I was just sharing that as a host, I can still host Awaken Houston. I just have to make sure that I wake up at 5:30 a.m. So I guess, but I am grateful for the opportunity to be able to host it. And as a guest, I can just attend so many. Ahmedabad, Baroda, Surat, Delhi. I'm just amazed at the opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, there's so, it's interesting. There's obviously so many opportunities that come up from this. I've been hosting Awaken Circles locally now for about a year, a little more than a year, and started doing them virtually a couple weeks ago. And I'm finding, you know, it's interesting. There's more intimacy in some sense, but I think that may be because of just the unique times, the pandemic times. I think people are feeling a need to share more deeply and feeling that urge. So I'm finding the circles actually to be quite intimate. I'm also finding kind of more people able to participate. So they're broad, like as we were talking about, it's a broader thing. And right now they're deeper. I think it'll be interesting to see over time, like whether they can sustain the same energy. We'll see. I mean, I do feel there's opportunities. You know, a lot of people won't sit for silence in and out for an hour, at least where I am locally. They won't, but they're comfortable if they can join at any time in the silence. I kind of say the Zoom room's open and they can join. So it's both broadening, but I'm constantly, you know, mindful of how can we make sure this is also deep and not just, you know, we're not just trying to get numbers. We're not trying to just get people in. We want to gently guide them and ladder them. So to that, I want to kind of transition to the second part of our call where we have a very special guest, Terry Patton, to talk about what I think is a really interesting opportunity that we have in this time. You know, many of you know Charles Eisenstein's work. Charles Eisenstein talks about the space between stories, the space between the old story, which is one of separation, and a new story, which is one of interbeing. And, you know, whenever we have big systemic shifts, big, you know, cataclysmic events, crises, there's an incredible opportunity in some ways for those spaces, those cracks to open those spaces. And as space holders, you know, how do we navigate in those times of civilizational crisis? Is there something unique in this time in the way we hold that space to encourage the widening of that crack so that we really can help people stay in that space of unknowing? And, you know, what I'm sensing as I'm doing this in my community is, you know, people are drawn to these types of circles. They want to go deeper. They're sensing there's something that's calling them. But there's also a fear. I mean, in the same ways people talked about earlier in the hour, like people can't sit for an hour. How long can they sit with uncertainty? And when do like the forces, the kind of reactive energies kick in and we immediately seek, you know, quick and easy answers collectively and systemically? So I think this is potentially a really unique time for us. And so in this second conversation, we wanted to invite Terry Patton, and I'll introduce him in a second. But, you know, for me, the questions are like, with systemic cracks appearing and the possibility of this kind of chaos leading to a space between stories, how are we individually and collectively being invited to deepen as space holders to support others to live with those questions and the unknowing rather than jumping reactively for answers? And what are some of the best practices for both ourselves and for inviting others to go deeper and stay in that space? So with that, I want to invite Terry. Terry is just this amazing person. He's a heart. He's just a beautiful soul, a beautiful person, a loving personality, and so much more. He's a philosopher, a teacher, an activist, social entrepreneur, and author. He's devoted his effort over the past several decades to the evolution of consciousness by facing, examining, and aiming to heal our global crisis through, you know, what he calls the marriage of spirit and activism. He's been a key figure in the Integral Movement, and he co-wrote Integral Life Practice with Ken Wilber and a core team of the Integral Institute. His 2018 book, A New Republic of the Heart, offers more integral approaches to activism, and it's been called a stunning marriage of wild heart and cool mind, and is combining brilliant social commentary along with step-by-step blueprint for catalyzing whole systems change from the inside out. You know, Terry's had an interesting life experience, personal experience. He was brought up in an intentional community outside of Chicago for the first 15 years of his adult life. He became a student of Adida. And during this period, he really learned the importance of marrying both the deep inner work with outer social practices. So with that, you know, I think he's just, you know, I think he's able to tap into kind of what we as a super organism, as a society, need to do in terms of awakening consciousness, both in ourselves and others. So that, I'm going to turn it to Terry to tell us what he's sensing and what he's leaning into.
Thank you so much, Preeta. Gosh, I just feel grateful and honored to be here with all of you. This plague, this coronavirus plague, it's punctuating things. And right now, it's sent us into retreat. And of course, in retreat, even if our retreat may not be terribly peaceful, maybe we're sheltering in place with a family and there's a certain amount of tumult and maybe we don't have so much quiet, still there is a pulling in of our energy. And just as we would go on a meditation retreat or as we would go on a service retreat, maybe going to the ashram and just going out and pulling weeds and painting or whatever is needed, we're in a moment in which we have a chance to be with all of what's going on in our world. And this coronavirus is one of many expressions of a moment in which, you know, because of global warming, because of the overall ecological crisis, because of all kinds of unsustainable ways that our societies have lived, we're all of us tied into a system is going to have to change dramatically, and suddenly it is being changed dramatically. And so for many of us or many of the people we gather with, there is a reasonable, reality-based fear. We don't know how that disruption will affect us. We do know that it is not unlikely that people we know will fall sick, and some will be hospitalized, and some will die. And we know that the economic impacts will affect people we care about and perhaps ourselves. And there will be loss. There, you know, impermanence, everything changes. Our practice, our meditation, our life of commitment has been preparing us. It prepares us to be a presence of sanity and wholeness when fear is arising inside us and outside us. And yet, we haven't met a moment of truth exactly like this. Nobody expected this, or I didn't, most of us didn't. And so we're thrust into a transition space, a space between worlds. It's called a liminal space or a threshold space. And it's deep and mythological that we don't know. And so every one of us, at least in some part of our hearts, is alert and listening. What does this mean? What is this teaching me? And that humility, that willingness to just be still and alert and listen, we share this. We're in the liminal space together. We're falling, something is falling apart, and in our practice, we are falling together. The goodwill, the loving intention, these are the best of us. But it's a stern teacher. It's going to hurt. Many of us have, again, another fear, a rational basis. Authoritarianism is afoot in many countries around the world, and maybe this creates an opening where something can change, and maybe it creates a closing in some ways. Obviously, life is change, and there will be suffering, but there will also be renewal and awakening and joy. There will be all of the wild and woolly experience. And now we're gathering together with others who are thrown into a liminal space. And what I find is, I've been doing a lot of Zoom, and before that, just audio maestro calls now for over a decade, because the people who are understanding the things similarly to me are all over the world. And so we've gathered internationally. And for me, some of the best practices have been, well, first of all, there is the way of being a good person and being in service and being positive and being generous that I already know. And that is good. But if I just rest into that without curiosity, I don't grow. If I rest into that with curiosity, discovering that maybe more than that is now asked of me, that this great teacher that life is saying, okay, that was good, but now it's time for something new. That openness, that listening takes me to a new place. And if I model that, if I begin a session with people in a way that offers a human vulnerability, a willingness to be with the fear and the grief and the even the anger that may arise, but that is also present to the divine, to the well-being, to the inherent radiance and the care, then it creates a space where that virtual space is like a very special, intimate space. And then we can go into these breakouts like we just did and see one another and feel one another and experience the miracle that we can be intimate with a stranger in a way that actually feeds us. Seeing that divine humanity in the other, and also seeing that we're all cartoon characters too. And so there's a kind of repentance in the sense of, ah, I'm being asked to transform, and so I'm humble before something bigger. And forgiveness, in that we embrace this other person who is divine, but also a cartoon character. And there's something in what is coming through in the midst of that, that may teach us all something, so that we can pilot, or, you know, like we're all experimenting, we're creating little cauldrons where something new can emerge. So that's what I'm doing with my meetings. And I wonder if it might be that some awakened circles might experiment with a little invocation in the silence, or a reading, or a presencing of something that sets the space in a different way that wouldn't be appropriate in person, and that the sharing be perhaps some experimentation with breakout groups, or, you know, if you've got a large group, so that that experience of intimacy can be part of what you are able to have with one another. And I think that this process of learning is a collective one, and we can share what works and what doesn't work and build our collective wisdom about how our generosity can express itself in this new and sudden form, and how we can hold one another in, you know, at some point, the people you've been with will be experiencing the hospitalization of a dear one, or the death of a dear one, or a financial reversal that is frightening them. And this ability to be with so-called negative emotions and be present to the positive at the same time. The goddess is weeping with compassion for all the suffering, but she's also weeping with joy. And if we can let that broken-hearted openness let us be infused with the good feelings that bring forward our own wisdom and depth, that may be the way we can be a blessing most profoundly to everyone. I think that's enough of me talking, but I'm grateful to be able to share what I can with you all, and humbled by all the goodness I'm witnessing in all these spaces.
Thank you so much, Terry. You've been doing this work for many decades of planting seeds in this field, for sensing these systemic shifts, these civilizational spaces. And I think, I was just reflecting as you were talking about the design of circles and how can we invite people into those spaces and to really sit in those spaces of unknowing. And it's interesting, because I've been actually thinking about, we do have a passage with every awakened circle, like a wisdom reading. But we often read that after the silence. So we do the 1 hour of silence, then we do the reading, and then the circle of sharing. And one of the things that's come up for me is just, maybe I should think about switching that and doing the reading at the beginning and then having the silence, or having some period of silence after that.
Or a short reading at the very beginning of the silence, and then maybe the fuller, longer reading before the discussion.
Yeah, something like that. And also I've been kind of thinking in my mind about, after this is over and we resume in-person circles, maybe I will also continue with virtual circles. So I have both. Some people will be drawn to some will. I personally want to keep mine local still, because I'm trying to cultivate a local community, and I'm still kind of new to being back to where I was. And so I want to keep it somewhat local. But I do think there's, so I think there's a lot of interesting things. I mean, I think a lot about this ecosystem. I think of us, and some of you have heard me say this, I think of this as like, you know, the Jedi Knights, you know, or like kind of around the globe. We're each cultivating our own ground of being where we are. We're each becoming lighthouses. We're each planting ourselves in different places. And how do we both support, you know, and we have been using technology for quite a while to support each other. But now the opportunity not only to nurture that space within our communities, but to possibly broaden it and then invite people to go deeper as well. So in a local way. So I think there's a lot of interesting things coming up, but I would love to just open up the conversation for the group with some popcorn shares around the question, not just the how of holding digital space, but as space holders, like what's the quality of the space that you're sensing now in these unique times? And how are you, you know, are you holding that? Are you feeling a different energy? Are you being called into some deeper practices yourself to hold that in a different way? If anyone would like to raise their hand or somehow indicate they'd like to share, would love to hear from you.
Hi, this is Sada, and I'm sharing mostly from, let's say, like non-awakened circles in terms of virtual spaces and space holding. And I'm finding that there is so much more vulnerability accessible right now, and emotions are so much closer to the surface that even those who would have in the past tried to kind of keep those out of public spaces, they are coming forth more. And so it feels like there's more of an opportunity to be with that in a good way. I love the way that Terry, you spoke to that. So it feels like there are a lot more opportunities around that right now.
Stephanie
had her hand up. Stephanie. Let me unmute. Am I unmuted? Yes, great. So first you have to work out the unmute button.
Yeah. You know, that's
a big part of this. And online like this, like humor, I find is kind of important too, that we're all kind of acknowledging that, you know, we'd really rather be doing a group hug. you know, that kind of for me brings it. I do a lot of online stuff, and I do find a difference when I'm working with, because I'm a meditation teacher, so if I've got a group of meditators, if I've got a mix of people who don't meditate. And so I find myself doing, like my partner tells me all the time, could you chunk that, please? You know, could you give us some smaller sections of things? Because we're so used to so much video, and especially young people, they were raised with video coming in every direction, that there's this automatic multitask. I'm watching the video as I'm on the machine, and I've got to do this. And so I find smaller sections of something really interesting is a little more helpful for keeping us engaged in the time. The other thing, and I've had to do it, when we're here, I have to leave little space for, okay, do you need to physically adjust? Because like my iPad's falling here, or, you know, there's more kind of physical distraction. So I'll say, okay, we're going to do a 30-second physical adjust break. Okay. You know, if you have to move something, move it now. And so we make it kind of I'm sorry, I just made that sound like musical chairs as a kid. I didn't mean to, but maybe that's what I'm doing. The other thing I do is at the beginning, rather than starting people in silence, since a lot of people even know what to do with their eyes closed, I start with a high intention and a verbal warm hug, and then maybe guide the beginning of a meditation with some options, or do what you want. And then that kind of like I put the canoe in the water and then let the current take it. So there's different adjustments I do when it's virtual. I make more efforts. I teach body language at UCLA. Okay. Well, I can only see from here up, you know, on this, but you can get a lot from here up. and you can really get a sense of engagement. It doesn't mean we have to be sitting going, okay, I'm looking at my camera now and I'm not breathing, you know. But I can tell if someone's sitting forward or back. And so in the same way, if you're doing public speaking, you look around, if people are falling asleep in the second row, you change what you're doing. Well, so in that same way, I do scan the room to see if people are going, yeah, hi, honey, if they're not present. So that's kind of, in terms of the adjustment from live mm-hmm. to online, those are little things that I do. And the other thing, I coach other teachers, and I have to say this a lot to people, and maybe it's because I'm an actress in Hollywood, but I'll say, please have light on your face. You know, if you're leading a group and you've got a light behind you, you look like Deep Throat and we're a little scared. And I know I'm, you know, and I do it with comedy so they laugh, but it can be kind of freaky with someone with light behind them. You know, we all have that, oh, I'm being interrogated thing. So little technical things I do to help facilitate, because right now I agree with what was said. People are reaching out for connection in a way they never have. I mean, I know some people who go, I can't be here alone with no human being. You know, I take vacations to be alone and do a lot of solo retreats. So I'm like, oh, look what's been given. Everyone isn't doing that, you know. So that's, I don't know, I just rambled with the various things I do on this, but I'm here to learn more. And I wrote down notes. So that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. And I just thought of a best practice also, as you were saying that before I send people off into breakout rooms, what I could do is unmute everybody as the host, so that like everybody's not then struggling with, how do I unmute myself? How do I do this? So that's one thought we can do. Yeah. So Liz, I think. Thank you. We're up next. Thank you, Stephanie. It's always fun to see you.
Hi, everyone. So I am taking a lot of notes. Thank you. Just wanted to share two things. Annette and I were anchoring the circle in Oakland, and there's a lot of transformation happening before coronavirus decided to visit our area and stay for now. And we've seen such growth and opportunities because Oakland is going to transition, and it's going to transition to our home. So this online virtual circle has been a blessing because it's allowed us to do that without having to do a big announcement. But the other part that perhaps many of you do know, we were blessed by Pancho's trust, and then Eva, to when he left Oakland to go on the pilgrimage to Mexico, he invited many of us to see if we wanted to weave this, continue. So it was a huge sandal to fit, you know, because Pancho wears sandal, he doesn't wear shoes. So as a result, a lot of people that come, they come from Pancho. The emails, they say Pancho, and many people join and would come thinking they would see Pancho and only to find us. So it's like a big disappointing. But it's been a transition, how we weave this together, but the other part, so what, talking to Pancho as well, he's a great reminder of like, don't be Pancho, be you, be Liz, be Anand, be Nech. And we've really taken that to heart, and through many of the retreats with Service Space, really cultivating that. And the other part I wanted to share, it's this emerging of what I've learned when I first started servicing the Awaken Oakland, is that we began serving with love. Everything we did was with love. And Pancho, I mean, he emanates that. How we spoke, what we spoke, how we cook, what we cooked, how we set up the room, you know. Everything was with a lot of love. And you have to understand that inside. And that's a practice that on Fridays, I look forward to, because that's the day where everything I do on that day, it's for Awaken Circle, which is going to happen at 7 p.m. virtually. But everything, I go deep within. I think Terry, that liminal space that you spoke about, that going into curiosity and seeing, well, what can I do that it's loving today? And I probably do it every day, but it's just being present and being curious. And I come to the circle from that space, and I notice the energies are they come out, you know, and that's not, I come in saying I did A, B, and C. I'm present, and I have all this cultivation done throughout the day that allows me to really show with love. So I'm able to hold space for this difficult, meaningful thoughts, and also space for this amazing curiosity and joy that emerges of our circles, and help it weave into something differently. So it's been a great, great experience from our past, what I've learned. But virtually, it's been a really beautiful experience. And just a couple of thoughts. Be very mindful of how you show up, not just physically. I think you just spoke about it, but what you wear, how you're wearing, what letters you have. Often people don't realize that. And I did a lot of public relations presentations. I'm often sending Anna like, you need to go change. You can't wear that shirt. But, you know, because people, everything they see around you. So we create a beautiful sacred space around our meditation. And when we turn on, that sacred space is being visual. So it's just an invitation to others to do that. And it's been quite beautiful. Everyone just logs in and they're all really cultivating that, sharing that beauty around them. So it's been invisible and yet so beautiful to weave it together.
Thanks so much, Liz. Yeah, good advice. So we have just one last comment from Karthik, and then we'll close. We're nearing the end of our time. Thank you all. So Karthik.
Yes, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
It's so exciting to see so many faces echoing that sentiment, though, and you know, joined the call, and it was like, whoa, and all your eyes were closed too, so that was even more magical. Couple thoughts were coming up for me. First was a couple questions, really, in terms of what I'm holding. The first is, what am I holding on to, especially in the context of hosting these types of spaces? It's reminding me of how when we first started hosting our spaces in Seattle, which is only like 6-7 months ago, a small group of people, much smaller than the Santa Clara groups that I'd gone to a few times. And when it came time, we did our hour in silence, we did our sharing, and then it came time for silent dinner. And everyone's kind of sitting there, and we're silently eating, and there was so much I could feel that was left over from the sharing, so much connection yet to happen. Like actually the 7, 8, maybe 10 of us had never met each other. And I think there was this moment, and I'm not sure if it was the first or the second, but I also felt like we need to be able to speak. And I could hear myself holding on to like, oh no, but like the guidelines are awake, there's a silent dinner and like Nipun's got it right. And it's so magical at Santa Clara also. I don't want to mess that up. And I remember in the circle being like, is there enough salt in the food? Because I think the food doesn't have enough salt. And at that point, we kind of decided that in our circles, for our circles, at least we'd start the dinner in silence and have like kind of a set amount of time in silence, and then also open up the space because actually there wasn't enough salt in the food and people had a lot more to talk about too and for us to connect to. And it brings me to like the second question that I really am holding is like so many of us, I love what Preeta said about like the Jedi Knights. But for me, I feel like mini like, knight in training type of thing. But also like for us to trust ourselves to really listen into our community and asking what is the need of our community right now? And it may be really different, honestly. It may be really different than how things have been. People have had a lot of structure. People have had a lot of connection in their lives. For us, like we host these online circles in addition outside of the Awaken physical spaces we were hosting. And for us, we were just feeling over and over again this lack of intimate connection. And it allowed us also to kind of trust our instincts a bit and try to create different ways, different exercises to try to, elicit that connection. I'm sure a lot of you do that kind of work. And I'm just reflecting on our time, like at Gandhi 3.0 and some of the stuff that Dacher was saying. And I really think a time like this would offer each of us to kind of trust our instincts, listen to the community, and get creative. What would it be like for us to all, you know, in our awaken circle, like maybe just spend 2 minutes mirroring each other and all of us like just move in like movement together? What would it look like for us to really stare into each other's eyes and have that type of connection? And so, yeah, those thoughts are coming up for me and looking forward to hopefully staying connected here and take this, this energy forward. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Karthik. I love the idea of maybe like having a breakout of just two people and like letting them really deeply share before they come out into the circle too. So for some people who are kind of shy about that, that's beautiful. And the mirroring, all great ideas. Thank you all. Ari, I'm going to turn it over to you for our final close.
Wow. This is a reminder to me of like what is possible, right? Virtually. And there's no way I could be in a room with each of you at this moment together without this technology. And so, you know, the name of this call was Making Lemonade. You know, there's an old phrase that, you know, when life hands you lemons, create lemonade. And this is, I'm reminded of the God in Hinduism of Shiva, who is ironically both the God of destruction and the God of creation. And it is because this realization that is in letting go and destroying something that we create spaciousness for something new to arise. Very much what Terry and others have spoken about. And you know, I just think in my own work, how I've been trying for so long to like have us all sit together in meditation. And we just started this week for the first time after years of saying, inviting people, let's do something like this. We're finally every day at work setting a time and we all, you know, that people are invited to sit together. And it's because all these things have fallen apart that we have a spaciousness now to do something that was important, but wasn't urgent. And finally, I think there's an urgency for our own spiritual realization, for us own to come together, to fall together, as Sujata was talking about. And so I'm sure this will be a conversation that is beginning of many more in the service-based community. And that as we deepen in our own practice and as we've been preparing in some way, like Gandhi and the 78 people did for the Salt March, we maybe we've been preparing for this moment ourselves. And in that preparation, something beautiful will arise and will emerge. And I'm quite confident that if there's ever was a receptivity in the world to new ways of being, of thinking, it is this moment. And I'm grateful to walk that path with each of you and to be present to this unfolding that is being asked of us at this time of existence, of humanity. So I'll let Preeta do the final closing. Just grateful for each of you.
Thank you, Ari. I love you on top of the world like that. I feel the same thing. I feel a really unique moment, but I also am very mindful and in accord with what Reverend Heng Shur said to us on the last COVID call, which was something to the effect that maybe this obviously isn't a dress rehearsal because it's very real and it's very real suffering for so many people. But in some ways, maybe it's the beginning of many such events. And it's a, you know, how we respond now, we continue to deepen for the next one and the next one and the next one. So maybe the cracks aren't going to come all at once. Maybe it's not going to be some giant, you know, huge space where we step into, but this is part of our practice too, to continue to deepen, to heed the cracks, to create a more joyful space in that crack and invite people to be there longer. So with that, this for me personally, I could just say this experience has just made it so clear to me that when we're in that, you know, what you call it, a crack or a foxhole or whatever the metaphor is, like there's no other group of people I want to be in there than with all of you. So I am so grateful for this ecosystem. I'm so grateful for what we are nurturing together around the globe, and just deep honor, privilege, humility to be holding space with you now. So thank you all. With that, let's close with a moment of gratitude, of silence, gratitude.
Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe we can unmute everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Noctebuna.
I want a roller coaster ride.
I know. I still can't figure out the virtual background.
I'm getting some now.
You know, one thing we can do, one thing we can do is there are several good ones, but we can maybe make like a, we can create those, put those around, a bunch of them that people can use.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Great.
Love it. Bye.
Bye.